Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh,
and I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord for joy. Amen. Joy from the Holy Ghost isn't regulated by circumstance, regardless of the circumstances. We can have joy. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for another training blessed day. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving honor to Christ, Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. To the Lord God, the Father. Amen. The blessed Holy Ghost, Pastor O. Amen. And his lovely wife, Sheila. Amen. And his friends and saints for running for Christ. Ministries, amen, Renaissance Christian Centers, amen, hallelujah, and the saints and friends up there in Ann Arbor, amen, at U of M, I say praise the Lord. You know, this is it's a blessing because each day go by, you know, I'm not picking, but, you know, I like this win-win situation. You know, if I'm alive, I'm winning, I'm blessed, amen. And if I wasn't alive, I'd be winning and blessed. You know, this is, you got to see, this life in Christ is something. You know, you don't have to live in fear of dying because you know where you're going. And the expectation is greater, amen. Nothing on this earth is as good as it's going to get. Believe me, it's going to get better, amen. We got great days coming. Great days coming. I know we at the threat of a nuclear holocaust, but if you living in Christ, I don't believe you're going to be here. I mean, either way it go. You know, from what I've been told from people that at the point of death before it hit, let's just say that, you know, the people debating whether or not the rapture going to be before World War III, after. Listen, but before the missile hit, I'm willing to bet you God will pull you out of your body, because he said he has not appointed us to wrath. That's why he sent his son to die. God is just full of love. Satan is the evil one. But let us go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you and give you all the glory and honor, because without you, we would not have made it to this day. And the fact that we have made it to this day says that we can go where you say we can go, and we can do what you say we can do. And we just thank you for that right now, Father, as we have gathered together to again look at your word, to gain more understanding of your revelation of our mission in our lives that you have given us. Bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom, and a closer and deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will know better what is the hope calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power that you have made available to those of us that submit and obey you, Lord. Give us the revelation of that, Father. Father God, we're asking right now that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so we'll be fruitful in every good work that is approved of you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask you to make my tongue that of a ready writer, to write upon your hearts of your people and even my own. Want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you look in the Bible, you will find that the epistles and the New Testament, different writers, amen, had different themes. And, you know, I'm not a eschatologist. That's not an area that I spend a lot of time in. There are eschatology for new people is study of end times. And there are people that are committed many hours to studying that. I picked up where I think where John left off because, you know, if you learn how to walk and live in love, you will make this journey. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. You're not earning your way into heaven. You're learning the way of God. We're talking about the kingdom of Christ, which is the kingdom of God. And as I said, the kingdom of Christ, amen, is the finished work, the beginning of, so that you can't, without Christ, you can't get into the kingdom of God, okay, without Jesus Christ. And that was an advent that had to be, simply because of our nature, okay. Man is a God-class being, small g, always. And then, you know, at times people hear it swirl up and they thought it was a big G. But, you know, I have this saying that I tell some people, God will, you don't want God to knock you off his throne. And you don't want him to sit on you if you're trying to sit on his throne, because it will hurt. But we by our nature, when you look at what happened with Adam and that God severed a part of his spirit and created a being, God is like that. I mean, he got it like that. His intention was to create a race of his own. We are different than angels. And the thing that I have been given and are the most conscious of is what it says in 1 John 3:2. It says, dear friends, now we are the children of God, not going to be. And it's amazing. Some people think we're going to be, and we're not there yet. You know, that's a wasted thought. You know, I mean, God is going to get you there, okay? If you would have to be the one to turn away. It says, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, talking about Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, you got to include what happened to Jesus after the resurrection. And, you know, it's amazing. I when I do go out my 2-3 days of Uber and I talk to people, they are almost totally unaware of these realities that are in the Bible, which is sad because when you're a Christian, if you haven't read the four Gospels, what are you telling God earnestly, honestly, about you wanting to pursue his will? You know, and it's something when I hear people say they only want to do the will of God, but the will of God is written in his word. And God is economical. You know, the information revelation that I receive doesn't come by me watching a lot of TV. I watch TV, but, you know, I'm more interested in the eternal aspect. Matter of fact, this is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. He says, if you be risen, if you, beginning at verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on those things above, not on the things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid in Christ. For when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And that's another tremendous statement of itself. You know, last time I started talking about the aberrant sexual behavior that's going on, and it's really amazing that I actually had a discussion with a rider in my on Uber that talked that seeing the same thing, and I'm not surprised by it, because I remember my BC days when I was smoking marijuana 6 days a week. And it's strange that I had enough sense to give my body a rest for a day at least, you know. But alcohol and drugs, what they do is, a person that doesn't know the Word of God, you really don't have nothing to fall back on. You're only going to do what you know, and it heightens your senses far beyond what you can imagine. And those drugs that do it the most, generally cause the most chaos. This is what is causing a lot of this craziness that is going on. Understand that Satan has had 5,000 years to understand us. And this is not something new. Years ago, doing research on narcotics, I found out that cocaine, it was documented in 4003 BC. And we know, well known, that when the Chinese first started coming to America in the early 1800s, they were bringing opium with them, and there were places called opium dens that people could go and smoke opium and just be intoxicated all day. It created a type of, Satan understands the spiritual realm, in your spirit. You can go and shoot a dead body full of any type of drug all you want, and it will not have any impact. And it's strange that there's a euphoria that comes forth when you're actually struggling to maintain control of your body. You know, some parts of it just flare up, you know. Like I said, it'll drive you into hypersexual activity. This is what's going on. You're going to start, sadly, to see situations where women are being charged with rape. It's a different world out there today. You know, it's happening. It's been happening. I saw it in law enforcement. It's tremendous. You was probably seeing these incidents. And all the time with these school teachers, it ain't drugs, but I'm willing to bet you it's pornography. That's another aspect. So when you mix drugs and pornography and no word or consciousness of God, you're going to have some situation. You're going to have this type of situation. And it's not uncommon toward the end. You find in Genesis chapter 6, when God talks about the thoughts and the imagination of man are only continuously evil, that means man is making no, at that point, he's reached the place where he's making no effort to consider what God wants, you know, and that's classical toward a judgment period. That's one of the classic signs. Particularly, you started to see spiritual leadership fall to the wayside. But, you know, on the backdrop, on the other side of that is the other aspect. You know, it's incumbent upon pastors to instill in their parishioners how essential it is to pray daily. You know, I'm of the mindset that everything going on in the world that is crazy and corrupt is simply from a lack of prayer. And I know it's not the will of God, and I know it's the will of Satan, and I know the only overcoming power against Satan is the prayers of the righteous. God, he doesn't have more power than God, but God has put man in control. All right. So when I'm talking about here in the body of Christ, when I'm talking about these things that we're talking about, this issue that was going on in Corinth, of sexual aberration. Point is not just about the sex. It's about your impact or our impact on the world. Okay, when you're praying, particularly when you're praying in English or in your heavenly language, you know, it's you're impacting the world. When people pray in English, a righteous person prays in English. They are impacting. When they pray, the saints here that are praying all over the world, that are praying for Ukraine, have an impact. The angels can respond because God will send them, and the demons had to back down. I mean, you're seeing things, even though we could get more done if more people prayed, because there's a lot of moving parts to this prayer thing. It isn't just, it should be obvious that it isn't just prayer, but the Ukrainians have a role to play in that too. You know, they're making some, and that's why Satan is attacking them, because they have begun to make some changes. They have begun to turn away from the, I would say, lesser Christian form of reality to a more biblical reality according to the word, which means they would overthrow Satan. So only thing he could resort to is what he do, which is violence. Okay, so like I said, we're talking about, so the point here about the body of Christ isn't to just nitpick on people's behaviors, but to keep in the constant mindset of why Satan does this, and the aspect of why God expect us to respond in a specific way, because in our case, it also tells God what we will do with power in the future, because what motivates me to pray for the Ukrainians and everybody else, even the president of the United States and the governor. I like my governor. Anyway, is love. Now, when I talk about love, always remember that love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. You know, I'm never talking about any other type. There are four types: eros, which is the basic love that most people know, that attraction between a man and a woman. They call it love, but in most cases, it turns out to be lust. You can tell when one get on the other one's nerve. If it's love, they'll get through that. If it's lust, you know, they'll break apart. And there's phileo, love, you know, between two people that, you know, that are not blood family, that you grew up with. I had my closest friend, amen, we had a strong phileo relationship, amen. I mean, and it was true, because he was full of the word, amen, and it's you know, I really miss him, but I know where he at. I know he might miss me, but you couldn't drag him back, okay? And so you got, and then you have storge, S-T-O-R-G-I. That's family love. That's your natural family, your kinfolk, your sister, your brother, your children, okay? But all of those are founded on the basis of those should be agape in those in order for them to have maintenance. Because you know family is challenging, and it's going to be. Again, God, this all exists so that God wants us to understand this for eternity, not just now. This is not test to get to heaven. Jesus paid for it, and you got reservations in heaven, okay? You know, like I said, my mansion is of a design. It's going to be sitting in the middle of water. I don't, you know, with a glass basement, so I can look out. I believe there's going to be some creatures there. There's a debate on that, but if not, I'm sure, I believe I had a favor of God that if I'm the only one out there, he'll make some creatures just for me to look at them and enjoy them and praise his name for eternity. But anyway, so what I'm talking about here is, though, we have to, what I see going on in the world is that we have to be more focused on who we are in Christ, okay? So, again, I want to go back to Romans chapter 12 and read what Paul said, because, like I said, the Bible is you get frequent. We're going to go through some more scripture on the Bible where it mentions the body of Christ. And I'm going to just read from verse 4, because just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You know, and that's crucial. You know, I have a pastor that is committed to the cause of Christ, which is to take the gospel throughout the world, and he puts on a lot of air miles, I mean, to the millions, taking the gospel to the world, you know, setting up ministry, setting up teaching facilities to teach ministers, because this is anything, you got to approach the Word of God collegiate. You know, I don't know if you go online or go to a physical place, you really got to look. This is deep. This, look at how thick the Bible is. And you have to have a clarity on this. So you need to know. This is, like I say, this is not about just go to church on Sunday and leave church and forget everything that was said and go back into your own way of doing things, which is, that's being religious. That's being religious. Again, if you go all week and you don't pray for anybody, you're being religious and you're being selfish. And I don't know what the impact of that might be. You know, that's dangerous to me. That's dangerous. But you're also missing out on something, because God does these personal visitations. And people that have experienced it know what I'm talking about. You be at home and you be praising God, and God, you can tell God's presence, because it shuts off everything negative. See, you know, one of the things that when I had my surgery, one of the things I made an earnest effort to get back into as soon as I could when the medication wore off was praising God. There's power in praise, I'm telling you. Somebody said the praises go up and the blessings come down. That's how it's set up. I'm telling you, you don't want it. You know, if you're that person that can get to church on time and you show up after that first prayer, let me tell you something, Satan robbing you every week. See, you expecting God to do things in just a natural manner when the man of God go in the pulpit and speak. But God, when he puts something in you, it comes in the spiritual realm. And there's an exchange. That's why it says in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. It's not being filled. See, people that think that's a feeling are looking at what people are doing and not really. And the fact that a lot of people have never explained what happened, what make them react that way, because you got to be on the other side of that thing. But what I began to notice years ago was that when I picked up the Bible later on and read it, it read a lot more, it read clearer. Things that I was searching for a revelation for came to me, and I began to realize that praise and being in the presence of God, because it's with anything. It's anything that you do, when you go to school, what you really learn it the most of is you get past is the language of any field that you study. I'm in the cars, so everything related to cars doesn't come to me sounding foreign. Okay, when people talk about carburetors and starters and pistons and piston rings and crankshaft clearances, it's not foreign to me because I'm familiar with what that is. And this is what you want to be clear on, what the things of God, because you're part of what we do together. You know, we live this life together. Okay? All right, so last week we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe, and I talked about the Corinthian church was a church that would be the same as if you came to Detroit, as the best as any major city, you know, and they understand there was a major cultural change, as it is with us. But again, we're going through yet another cultural change. We're not complete now. We're complete in the spirit, but the manifestation of that is coming soon. This is what happened when you die. You know, you go into full spirit. You know, dead people, deceased people, still look the same. It's just that they have like a, as it was described, a a it's like almost like I heard one person, they talk, it's different. They physically look the same. You know, they don't have the limitations that we have. Okay, it's a lot. You had to go on YouTube. There's lots of events now, lately, recently, that God has been doing, been taking people on tours of heaven. And I expect that. But anyway, so what was going on? Now, understand that they had, culturally, one of their gods was Aphrodite, you know, which we get the term aphrodisiac, which is something that you give a person to create heightened sexual desire. And they had back then what would be called sacred prostitutes. And so there was a lot of sexual activity, and naturally it was kind of like Las Vegas. I said last time you go to Las Vegas, and if you're into the end of that danger, that's dangerous, because you know I just can't imagine that a woman sleeps with 1,000 men and nobody catches anything. I just can't believe that. You know, I'm not gonna tell you what I said to a young lady that was trying to approach me, but you know, it's like woo. But I understand that. Again, that whole thing is one you have to be oblivious to what God's agenda is. And this is the thing. Let me read this again because I think it's important because people matter of fact, I want to read verse 9. Now, and note this, that it doesn't isolate. We tend to isolate, quote, gay people as though they're the worst of the worst. But this was... Understand culturally, this was what went on in almost every culture except Judaism. You know, there were very few that had the same type of limitation that the Jews had. All right, it says, "Do you not know that the wicked?" Now, this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians in that same chapter. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, those that engage with male prostitutes, nor thieves, I wonder do that include the IRS, nor the greedy, that's these corporations that are underpaying people, and that judgment is in full play now. Nor drunkards, that includes drug addicts, nor slanderers, okay, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because that dominates them. Remember what Paul said in Colossians? He said, set your affections on things above and not on things on earth. I understand the power, the impact that has on you. I've been on this planet 70 years, and you know, it took me a while to grow to this because you have to get to the reality of what this is about. And to me, the reality of who you are in Christ, if God gave us powers for a reason, the world should be in better shape than it is, but it isn't because the thing about it is we note the sexual immorality, we spot that easily. And they make a big deal about this, but what about these people with 30 and 40 credit cards? You know, that's where idolatry comes into play. See, because that tells, you know, that lack of discipline in that area really says that God is still not a priority. The fact that you are just, even though you pay them and you're not stealing, that thing has control of you. And see, again, you are illustrating what you will do with power. Because in the next, in the third gen life, when Jesus come back, all these things won't exist. So how are you, what are you going to do? What are you saying you will do then? See, because everything will be free, so then what? with your behavior. What is your behavior saying about how you're going to act with full power then? See, are you going to be like Cain and start to take people's stuff or, you know, want to exalt yourself by having more than someone else? See, this means a lot to God. This means that's why that's in that list. Paul didn't just, Paul was called aside. He was one of the few people at that time that had direct contact with Jesus. So, and there's a reason for that. And back then, again, that was a thriving society. So, you know, so they could, that would happen. And this is going to be, another thing that I believe, based on what happened in Israel, to Israel, in the Old Testament before they went into captivity, and knowing Satan's, how he does business, prosperity is coming. You know, I hear a lot, I've heard a lot about the great wealth transfer, and that's good. You know, money is a good thing because you got to have it to pay your bills, and it's good to be able to enjoy things. But are people prepared for it? See, I had an experience. I recently gave away, well, not recently, about a year ago, I finally gave away a suit. I call it a Puff Daddy suit because I had learned some things about making some money, and I started buying stuff that was really different from my character. For me to buy camshafts and pistons and oil pickups, that's normal for me. But for me to buy clothes, and I'm not a clothes guy. I ain't knocking everybody because everybody, some people are clothes guys. I admire them. When I want to pick some clothes, I look at some of the brothers that do know how to dress, and I copy them. I mean, hey, it is what it is. You know, what the Bible says, mark the perfect man. My pastor is one. That's one of the sharpest dudes that I know. So, you know, I mean, they have that nature. But at the same time, I don't think they can put a camshaft in and line it up. You know, they can't adjust rockers. I can. That's my passion, okay? But everything has to have, this has to have balance. That's the main. If you see yourself get, because God is, listen, 1 Timothy 6, 17b, he said he has given us all things to enjoy. Now, again, you want your mindset. Now, understand, I don't think God would block your prayer if you got 12 charge cards, but if you talk to him and ask him what do you need to do, I'm sure he'll tell you to drop them down to one. I know you got to have one, and pretty soon that's all there will be. That's a sign that you can look forward to that there will be, I believe, before this president, I could be wrong, you know, before he leave office, America will announce they're going cashless. That, I don't know. Right now, there's some things happening. I'm not going to get caught up into that, but it's going to happen. The Bible says it's going to happen. That's why I know it's going to happen. That's what's in Revelation 13, verses 15 through 18. That can't happen unless the world is cashless, all right? But notice what he's talking about, the greedy, because that's, you know, you got some, you want more, okay? But again, what is this about? Deprivation of power, depriving you of your authority. Particularly, you can't pray for your neighbors if you're caught up into this, see? So people are killing people over stuff, you know? Stuff can be replaced. I used to see people coming to jail shaking their head, crying, because they realized the value of what they took a life for, they took a life and lost their own. Satan got a two for it. They go on to prison. And the person dead. And their life went downhill. And they end up with nothing. Again, you're dealing with a person that's been around here 5,000 years, and he has an IQ of, I'd say, 2,500. Okay? And if you don't yield to the Holy Spirit, you're no match for him. You may think you are, but he's been playing this game a long time. And it's about how will you handle power. You see that throughout. Look at what people, money tells people, tells God a lot about, money and sex tells God how you will handle power. Remember, we're going to a power level equal to what Jesus had now. Well, kind of, sort of. I'd say within 90% range. In other words, you know, You won't even need an airline ticket to go to travel. You can ride on a plane. It'll be free if they have them. I don't think they will, you know, but the fact of the matter is you would be able to go from America to Israel in less than a second. See, now that's some tremendous power. I know that sounds way out there, but let's think about what's happening. You're hearing my voice. How is that happening? I'm not electronics. Why am I making energy? Why is this taking so much energy? Okay? You got to begin to look at how I can flex. You can move and open and close your hand. Your spirit has, in order to do that, your spirit has to send your brain trillions of signals, and your brain then got to send trillions of signals to quadrillions of cells. They got to react in a specific manner just for you to open and close your hand in a millisecond, less than a millisecond, 250 millionths of a second. Okay? This, like I say, barring the flesh, you would be able to do a lot more. Jesus, when he left in Acts chapter 1, he floated on away. He just put gravity, and you got to read up on gravity and find out what it is. It'd take too long to explain it, okay? Now, you got to understand this. See, this is why not you have to have control of this. And to tell God, you know, don't ask God. I know I've heard people ask God to take things from them. He said he's given you power. Now, if he's given you power, you need to ask him how to use the power. He's given you the authority. He's given it to you. So, you know, he don't lie. And that's what it's about. How are you going to know the power that you have unless a situation occur whereby you have to use it? Okay? So, all right, now that's just the first part of 1 Corinthians, and then we had went on down here to verse 16, and again, that's where we talked about that aspect. And again, I'm seeing this. I was out driving, I think it was last night, and I passed through an area, where it's known, and for me, I didn't get a good look. I wasn't trying to look because I was busy, but I know the area, and I do realize that DPD, Detroit Police Department, have them undercovers out there because it looks strange, you know, because some of them be looking too healthy. And I'll be wondering, because I remember one day while I was working, I was outside the office, and I saw them bus load them up to take them out there to trap me in. You know, it is what it is. Said, but do you not know that he unites himself with a prostitute as one with her body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. Now, this is a law you really have to pay attention to. I came through the era where women would make you work for them. You didn't just, they wasn't jumping on your bones. They wasn't begging you to get up in there. They didn't even hesitate to talk about marriage. I mean, you knew in about 2 weeks, and they like, what about this marriage thing? As for say, nah, that's not even part of the discussion. Let me tell you, God created marriage. Okay, man did not. That's why you can't go into any government office and get a rule book for marriage. It's only, all the rules are in the Bible. Amen. And that was one of the things that Jesus said toward the end. And you have to be conscious of that. This thing of we need to do such and such or get into some wild, freaky behavior in order to keep our marriage going, that's where you need to get into prayer. You need to get deeper into prayer, okay? Not in a religious fashion, but recognizing you have been given the Spirit of God. Ain't that what it said? You have received Christ. You have received Christ. You have received, came by that. If you had everybody's money from the time that they started money, And all the money, you couldn't buy that, okay? And what it really has, it's listen, we're talking about the very power of God. Don't underestimate it because you are not allowed to do what Jesus did at the level that he did, but understand who he is. Okay, people debate about his authority. He is hyperstatic. He was fully man and fully God. I ain't that, okay? And the fact that, you know, he knew all things. We don't know all things. I can't say when somebody was, I wish I could tell when people was, what people was thinking. I don't know if I really want to know what people thinking, but Jesus could tell. You will find incidents in the Bible when he would know what they were thinking. Why? Because he was allowed to access omniscience. We are not allowed that. Because, again, we have to spend our time learning how to love. Love, love, agape love, agape love, agape love. And this is what it's about. All right. So, here, okay, but he unites himself with the Lord. Now, note this in 6:17. But he or she who unites themselves with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Now, that's what you want to do. And that comes through worship and praise. That comes through meditating his word, reading his word. You're going to find, this is for my new people, a lot of times when you read the word, God will do, he will highlight scripture. He'll actually stop you and start talking. And the more you know, the first time through the Bible is what, each time you go through, he will show you more. And it is amazing how you can go through there and see things that have always been there, but now you understand them. It's like having one of those 1,000-piece puzzles. I know y'all. Well, y'all know, you know what a puzzle is. You know, we had them growing up, and you the first thing you do is you got the picture on the box, and you're going to put the pieces together. When you finish it, you're going to have a picture, you know. Some people actually frame theirs, you know. So when you read through the Bible, that's the equivalent of dumping all the pieces out of the box. So now you know they're there. You know that you got a base idea of the picture. Okay? This is how we know where is it. Now, where my notes at? Because I don't want to miss this point here. Okay, we talked about Colossians and setting your affection on that. Okay. Wow. Alrighty. All right. So, anyway, you got to know how essential you are in the body of Christ. All right? The oneness. Oh, we talked about last week. We talked about the fact that there's no distinction between male and female. And I realize that man has made some distinctions that are not of God. And even some of the things that Paul made. But the main thing that is important right now is staying in alignment with the word of God, which you need to know. And if you don't know, Google it. Because, again, what's going on in Ukraine and how it's dealt with by the body of Christ requires the members of the body of Christ to be in alignment with the word of God so that their prayers are effective. I really got to get that out. You know, because, again, God, think about this. Do the math. God can, he is quite capable of ending that stuff real quick. It really is. So why is it going on? Why is it going on? It's going on because not enough of us are praying. Not enough of us are praying. Oh, give me a minute here. I'm looking for something. Okay, yes, we are. Here we go. All right. James chapter 5. I agree. People don't, everybody don't agree about who James is. But anyway, I ain't going to even go there. Said, but James is saying, confess your faults one to another. Now, that's talking about being in friendship and relationship with a mature Christian. Okay, a mature Christian. Not somebody just got saved 6 weeks ago. Somebody that's been around a while. You know, I had a mentor. He was, when he passed, he was 98. He was like almost 30 years older than me. You know, and he helped me straighten my life out. You know, he helped me unravel the mystery of marriage through the word, okay, and understand how to see that. Because the first thing he pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you will notice that it says nothing about you receiving anything. It says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, this is talking about healing. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, it said the effectual, fervent prayer of a what? Righteous man, a man in, now, in right standing, God give you right standing, so Satan does all he can to push you out of right standing. This is, see, this is, and there, you got to look at everything in the light that it is. And again, you can't do that without knowledge of the word. See, so going back to that incident, that when I see an incident, particularly one that people can relate to, when I see it's a certain pastor right now that's gone off the deep end, but I pray for him. And in order to effectively pray for him, the love in my heart have to be clear. And that's what God is looking more so. He's looking at my love. He's looking at him because his direction is also misguided because he's lost sight of how love works. He's chosen to his own method of what how he thinks love works. See, I'm not going to tell what he's telling people is about the fact that God won't send people to hell forever. You know what? I love God so that I don't care. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going there. He ain't gave me that authority. He said, if I change the word, I lose my place in Christianity. That's in Revelation chapter 22. Read the whole chapter. You'll enjoy it. But it's closer to the end. If I add to the word, he's going to add the plagues of the Bible to my life. That's why some people's lives are so messed up. I won't go there. Because what it is again, the assignment is to prepare people to do spiritual warfare. The spiritual warfare is more important than the physical warfare. It really is. If we're doing more spiritual warfare, we'll do less physical warfare. Because we're going, think about this. God let the devil exist. So what is he doing it for? Entertainment, I've actually heard some of our discouraged brethren say that about God, and I'm like, but they never asked him. I didn't get a chance to ask them, did they ask him? Because I'm sure if you ask God, I learn what I learn, I know what I know, because I ask him. I ain't afraid. What can he do? He going to say no. He ain't going to get mad. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, okay, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, willingly, abundantly, and won't call you a buckethead or upbraid him for asking. So I ask. This is how I come up with training there. I ask. How I know why Satan exists, I ask. Because I wanted to know. I wasn't discouraged. I just was curious. Okay, God, you smarter than this. Why? But then the pieces, it's really been there all the time. I've always known God cannot lie. It's immutable. He cannot lie. Okay, so how I'm going to know about lying? You know, to tell me about lying is one thing. That's clear with Adam. He told Adam he'd die if he ate of that fruit. What happened? Adam ate of the fruit. Why? Adam never saw a dead person. Think about that. He never saw a dead person. And it probably took him a while to realize, oh, that man's spiritually dead. He said, you know, he probably didn't realize that until he died. Okay? Because then he become fully cognizant. But he didn't know. He didn't have a reference point. Imagine the impact when Abel died. It's like, wow, he got a hole in his head, but, you know, is he going to recover or what? That's shocking. See, again, this God-like character is not, that simple. It's not that simple. That's why it takes so much time. That's why you need to go to church. The thing about going to church is you need to go to a Bible-based church where they pull out the Bible and read from it, not just some scripture. Doing what we're doing here, analyzing why this is saying what it is saying, okay? Why is Paul saying set your affection on things above? God ain't going to set your affections. He had already told you what the deal is. But it isn't just the threat. God don't want anybody in hell. But he can't, because you are free moral character, they call it, you make the decision. Now, if you was organically brain damaged, you know, in some cases, psychologically bound, you know, what we call mental ill, extreme depression, even that can be broken. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, God makes this, obviously, he took a thief off the cross when he left. When Jesus left, he took a thief off the cross. When they call him a thief, the Bible call you a thief, that means that he did nothing else in his life but thief, but he repented at that moment. You know, that's sad. I have a statement in my book that I talk about the fact that people, this is why you have to put your emotions in check. Okay, you know, the person can murder you. If you're not in Christ, you'll die. If a person murder you and you're not in Christ, you'll die, go to hell. Then they go to prison, get saved, and go to heaven. You know, don't play with this thing. Don't try. Jesus died, and you can only get there through him, because this is just part of it. We're just learning this. Think about this. God could have very well made this where we are going, could have been from day one. He could have, when Satan rebelled, he could have killed him in the garden. Oh, poof, evaporated, gone. I'm done with you. But he didn't. He didn't. He has to think. He doesn't have to think. He thinks eternally. And the type of person we are, we're different than angels. Even though Jesus said we won't be reproductive, and you know, I really think the survivors of the tribulation are going to be a totally different character than we are now, but not as we're going to be. I'm just going by what is presented, you know. I don't know. It's just some things. I just have to go by what it is. But I do know what will be required for us to have a relationship with them during that thousand-year period. Will you have an exalted mentality? You know, I believe there's a reason. I just think, you know, I had this teacher. I blame him. He said, pay attention to detail. Why is Jesus going to rule with a rod of iron? Send me an email on what you think, because he could have very well, could have just as well said a rod of gold or a rod of silver or a rod of platinum. But it said a rod of iron. And, you know, iron ain't exactly top grade metal, and it don't bend, though, when you whack somebody with it. Now, what is he talking about? Now, I don't think he's going to be whacking nobody. I just think it means that at that level, you can't give any excuse. Just like now, I can't give any excuses. You know, it's sad that so many people are committing suicide. I remember one day I got pressed like that. The devil jumped on me, and I gave him an opportunity doing being me. That was in my growing phase, and the Lord was very clear. It was one of them I call those. There are moments when God just speak plain to you, and he just said, if you do, you're going straight to hell. I'm like, okay. Never had that thought again. When the thought came again, see, that's why I know it's of the devil. I've had the thought. The thought came in my head. And I'm like, punk, you first. Stop telling the demon, you know, kill yourself, you know. You first. Let me see it. But so the point of the matter is you have to grab, because there's not more spiritual, more demonic activity, more demons been released. There is less resistance. That's why I believe God is having me go this way, because I'm seeing it and hearing it. And you're seeing it too. Look at how people dress compared to the past. Watch an old movie and see how people were. You know, we thought it was bad. They were smoking cigarettes all the time. Now they walk around, hookers be fully dressed, and non-hookers had they butt out. You know, it's just sad. I mean, but they don't have a value. And that is happening because it's a lack of prayer. We are so important. We are so important. And I'm not talking about, listen, if all of us pray, we don't have to pray a lot. You know what I'm saying? Even though I pray, I don't mind praying. I do not mind praying. That hour I spend, a lot of times there's two things going on at the same time. While my mouth is saying something else, I'm discussing other things with God at the exact same time. I love praying in tongues. We have two worlds going on, and that way it's not work. It's something, and I'm telling you, you lean yourself to God, and He will show you some things as you mature in Christ. And I tell you, it's a beautiful life, and I'm comfortable with it. I'm comfortable with it. I'm comfortable. Whenever I leave the house, I command angels, and I come back, and I find they did their job. I go out. I mean, and this is something. We have to be conscious. You have to be conscientious to be conscious to do what God has given us to do. See, and I realized that it took, I can't think of the word that they use to describe in the Bible where you can look at scriptures and pull a message out of it, but there's a term for that. But you can command angels. You can command angels. We're the only people that can. But again, they also, if you go back and you look at it, the characters that dealt with angels had a certain character, manner about their life. That's why that's in there. And if you're that person, you carry that type of authority. See, I mean, the unity in Christ is more powerful than people think. We've been trying to get things done through man. Right now, it's either do it together in Christ, and I'm looking at this scripture, and I guess God want me to, well, anyway. And bottom line, I think you understand that as a member of the body of Christ, we are one together, and that we have to work and pray together. That's the bottom line of that. Amen. So, amen, I hope you've gained some knowledge. And that you're focused, and you know, if you had the Bible program, Kairos, just type in "body of Christ" or "in Christ" or "body of Christ," and begin to look at the scriptures that relate to that, in particular, and in that area, because again, we are what God chose to work with, okay, and like I say, He's going to be victorious, so. Right now, okay. Well, anyway, we're having technical difficulties again. All right, we back on air. But anyway, just remember this. Remember this. This is deep. Listen at this. Prayer. Is God trusting you with His power? Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. God is love. Think about that. Ponder that. Pray about it. Ask God to reveal what's really in there. And we'll see you next week. Amen. Oh, that's all right. I'll deal with that later on. Bye. Be blessed.